Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Today, I'm joined by David. David, I love your first line about learning about yourself through dancing. So welcome to the podcast. Perhaps you could give us a little introduction about yourself and what inspires you.
Great to be here, Roy. Thanks for having me. Hey, everybody. David Chaffron. I guess you can call me a serial entrepreneur. I sometimes think of myself just as a creative person who likes to make things that matter to me. And done a bunch of things over the years. Early when it was my mid-20s, I started a company out of MIT that was a smartphone-powered eye test, high-profile project, helped a lot of people. Part of the story, which I'm sure we'll go more into, is I was working passionately and hard on that, but I didn't find ways for me to feel good for myself. And that led me to dance salsa in Colombia, and that led to starting a company called Soma Loco, which is what I spend my time on right now, in giving people this profound dance experience. So that's probably what we're going to jump into now. And of course, there's other things along the way as well. So we can certainly chat about that.
Yeah, I'm here in Seattle at the moment. And as my birthday present, my partner got us the salsa lessons.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I have two left feet, but it's really interesting to realize that's only a state of mind. Yeah, exactly. You can learn and you start the journey of mastery being a beginner, and you have to learn to do that. Digging into your past, digging into that first entrepreneurial journey that you went on, were you doing anything before that? What was the point where you said, you know what, I'm not made for this corporate life. I want the freedom. I want my own choices.
Yeah, I think I always had the mentality that I'm just going to do things that are interesting to me and that matter to me. There's probably a lot of reasons why I had that mentality. I had a pretty interesting, impactful coming of age story, like through a rite of passage, going to camp, summer camp, and doing this big canoe trip. Okay. I'll try to do the TLDR here because it's a great story. Basically, I went to summer camp for 2 months every summer from age 9 to 14. And my final summer there, we finally got privileges at this camp to go to the cantina once a week where you get root beer and ice cream and do socials with the girls who are on the other side of the lake once a week. And also do this massive trip called Saranac, where you would go on a canoe and go from lake to lake over a period of a week. And it's a amazing journey that the whole camp does when they reach a certain age. So it's around like 13, 14. Yeah. And basically, like, that is something that everyone's scared about and all the kids scare you about before you do it. I was pretty amped up to do my best and not be the worst on the trip. We heard stories of guys, not many, but like huge lacrosse players, who take this canoe on their back between lakes and do a portage, which is when you transport on land your canoe. And two-person canoes, these were big aluminum canoes. I was a late bloomer, not a big guy yet. So at the time, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. This guy portaged it by himself. And so we got to the first portage, and when we first started the trip, got on the lake. Me and my buddy Amos, I was in the front, in the bow, he was in the stern. We were in the front, we get to the first portage. I was like, let me just try this. And I put the canoe on my back. I was like, I think I got this. And I was able to solo it the whole way. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Maybe try it again next time. Did it again, kept on doing it. And on the hardest portages that people make you scared about, one was called Backbreaker, which is like a mile and a half uphill. I remember like experiencing the physical pain of doing it, but being like, I'm just gonna keep on going. And when I was able to do that, I don't think I was even 14 yet. I had this really clear hit that, wow, this is so empowering that if I just decide to do something, I can do anything. And then I also thought, I'm just a regular person. If I can do this, everyone can do this. Wouldn't it be amazing if everyone felt this way? That's what occurred to me as a 13-year-old. Can't explain why. So,
What a journey to take into life, right?
yeah, it was a profound lesson. It was also a big part of my identity from that point forward. I got the leader on the trip called Mr. Hard, and I won the best camper on that trip. It was a big deal for me. From then on, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do. There was a part that was a little bit like, I'm going to go party. I'm going to go to this. I don't care. But then when I became more empathetic and engaged with the world, particularly in college, I was like, the way that we've developed the West is very much about, hey, this is some really cool land. Why don't we just take it? Hey, there's people here. Hey, we don't really care about them. Let's just do what we want for ourselves, right? I don't experience the world that way. I experience the world that we're part of something together. Like we're part of something. I do experience that we're in the oneness. I've always felt that way. It's not an intellectual thing, it's just a feeling. And I wanted to do something to create a world that was aligned with this empowerment and feeling part of something. That desire, that intrigue, that want to create a world that way was what led me to be an entrepreneur. How am I going to do that? I'm not going to work for a company. That's insane. I never thought of myself as a business person. I'm a creative person. I like making things. I don't need business. But I saw how business drove the world. So I was like, great. Is there a way to use the market and technology and innovation to help people? There is. Or at least there's ideas and some books saying that you can do that. I was like, great. Let me go follow that. And that's what started my journey from college to starting my first company. I started my first company when I was like 25, 26. Took me like 3, 4 years to start the first company. Up until that point, I was exploring, learning, doing internships and fellowships and hustling and defining what I believed and what I wanted to work on before I found something that would resonate with, which ended up being a point of care diagnostic on a smartphone. I landed at that in 2009 and decided that's what I wanted. And then I found the research and then I started the company.
I love that creativity piece. I've never been an artist. I've never considered myself creative. This journey of entrepreneurship for me has been so informative, and there's so many things I've learned. And in the last few years, I've realized that I actually am creative, but I'm creative in my way through my companies, through the way I communicate with people, through what I bring to the party. And that creativity is a deep part of me now. I love this thought that I think all entrepreneurs are inherently creative. You don't need to be an artist to be creative. You can be creative in your own way. I want to talk about your passion. I have had some really deep and dark moments where I pushed myself too hard. I got to burn out. I didn't know the things I didn't know. Through the lessons that I've learned, the one big one that I've learned is that I have to look after myself first. From there, I can then go out and do the things that I love. So talk to me about that and your journey.
Totally. Yeah, that was really my story. When I started my first company, I was so external focused. I was wanting to help the world use technology and uplift people to have better healthcare that is accessible and affordable and quality. And I cared about that. I believed in that. And yet I didn't fully prioritize myself. So I think you could think about relationship in concentric circles. So in the middle, it's you. You could even say you and a higher power if you want to, but something of that vein. And then you and your closest relationship could be a significant other, and then you and your family, and then you and your close friends, and then you and your acquaintances, and you and your broader community, and you and your city or town, and you and your state, and then you and your country, and you and your world, and then you and the universe with aliens or whatever it is. So I think you can focus on any one of those rungs, all equivalent and in parallel, more in just you and yourself, just everybody else. I think I was very focused on me and my spiritual calling, what I wanted to be contributing in this world and what I was doing, as well as the external world, like everybody. What I was less focused on was me and my personal needs outside of this kind of burning spiritual passion thing, and certainly was not as focused on relationship. And what happened was I burnt out from that. It wasn't only my perspective, I was also living in a place that was challenging. I moved to Boston from the Bay Area to start this company. I didn't know anybody. Culturally, it was very different from where I was coming from. the Bay Area in 2010, 2011. It's a very different vibe than MIT and Boston at the same time. I found the Bay Area to be very communal and spiritual and creative and supportive and open. And my experience in Boston was not that. So there was external factors that impacted my experience. But basically, doing that for years made me feel pretty lonely and disconnected and stressed all the time and didn't feel like I had any outlets or support. It was just rough personally. And it wasn't until dancing salsa once, frankly, that I was like, oh, this makes me feel good. Holy cow, what is this? And just a friend said, hey, why don't you come out and dance salsa? I was like, okay, let's do it. Why not? I was like, oh my God, this is so joyous, so flavorful, so fun, so affectionate. This is what I've been wanting to feel, but I feel like I haven't had the outlets for it. I'm going to remember this. And then a few months later, it was time for me to step away from the company, and I had a breakup, and I turned 30 in the same week. I was like, all right, I feel like shit. I don't feel good. What do I do? I got to stop rock climbing and riding motorcycles. I need to somehow more connected with people. So salsa dancing was the thing that came to mind. Long story short, it was everything I needed and more. It was profound to lean into salsa so I can feel that joy, feel that affectionate side, feel that connection that I was so desperately wanting, but didn't feel like I had the outlets before.
And I think as entrepreneurs, we birth our companies, right? We have this idea of what we can fix in the world, and then we birth it, and it becomes our child, it becomes our baby, and it goes through this journey from the terrible twos all the way up to the teenagers. At some point, we get stuck in the momentum. As a teenager, I'm trying to control, I'm trying to keep everything in the right mindset and really push. And we don't let the company go. We don't let the child out into the world to do its work. And that was, for me, a sticking point. I need to not be the bottleneck. Yeah. And once I'm not the bottleneck, then I can move on to something else. But I have 100 ideas a day. Right. Yeah. And
Yeah.
I've got to stick them into ChatGPT or something to get them out of my head. Otherwise, I just spend all the time thinking about them. Yeah. It really is that piece of how do I actually do what I'm built to do? And I'm built to build companies. I'm built to create vehicles. I'm built to kind of get it up to a stage and then pass it off to someone else. But I've got to let go of the baby.
Totally. Yeah. It's a journey. I think when I started my first company, I still had so much I hadn't done yet. And maybe I wanted to prove myself and also wanted to, frankly, just I wanted to do everything. I had the energy for it. At the same time, that made it hard for me to let go control and delegate because I wanted to do all the things. I wanted to put my imprint on it. That's something about maturity right there, is that I was immature in certain ways when I started. And it took me some time to do what I needed to do on a personal level. To then be able to be like, I really don't need to do these things. In fact, I don't desire to do these things. I desire to have people who are aligned with the vision and what we're building and who are really good at these specific tasks for them to do it. It's really fun to have a team and work together and build things together and watch other people succeed. But I think the desire and that feeling only happened through maturity, proving myself to myself, getting some of those things out of my system where I just needed to do things myself. I think it's hard to fake that. It's an emotional thing. And I think people need to be really self-aware. Where are they at in their own journey? Are they able to delegate? It's gonna be tough, particularly if you want to grow a company. You're gonna be a solopreneur doing things by yourself, which is fine, but it's limiting.
I used to sit there with 15 people around me and I thought I was helping. I'd hear Mary say something and Joe say something and John say something and I'd jump in and I'd say, oh, you could do it this way and you could do it that way. And that ended up being my biggest problem because nobody would do anything without asking me. Yeah, these people have an amazing power and they can all do these things. And I brought them in because I respect them. And then I was hampering their ability to make decisions. Yeah, and when I learned that, I was like, okay, I was the problem.
Yeah, another thing that you only learn through doing it, and I think it's so hard to intellectualize when it comes to management, it's just dealing with people, right? Like, what's human nature? If you don't give them space to express their voice and let them make their own decisions, and it's always coming back to you, they're not going to feel empowered. They're not going to feel bought in. And it's always going to come back to you, and you're going to be frustrated as hell that you hired these people, but they're not doing the thing. And it's because you undermined them. That's not the jam, man.
Let's talk about your current passion and your current company. What is your vision in the world and how are you achieving that? What do you bring to people to help them understand themselves.
So taking a big step back, I think dance is something that is just part of our humanity, and it's part of every traditional people across the world. And yet in the West, it's been lost. It's not something we practice. I grew up and there wasn't a ton of dance, grinding to hip hop, maybe to the extent of it when we in our early adult lives. What we're missing is a lot. It's more than just having fun. Dance can be a transformative practice and at a minimum a maintenance practice for you to express yourself, to process emotions, to not feel stuck in yourself. We're not always articulating verbally everything that's going on, nor do we have words for everything. So movement and embodiment is really important in our day-to-day emotional experience and regulation. Also, it can be used as a tool to develop parts of your personality. Let's talk about salsa. We work with salsa, we work with bachata, we work with tango, we work with various dances. Salsa represents something. It represents cultural values that people of the Caribbean believed in and practiced intentionally. And that is joy, flavor, and affection. That's what salsa is about for me. And if you want to have joy, if you want to have flavor, if you want to have affection in your life, you can have it. You need to do it. What does doing it mean? Mental hacks, visualize and meditate, those are valid. We know from Eastern and Western traditions that embodiment is critical to internalize knowledge. That if you do something with your body, you will internalize whatever it is that you're practicing. If you want to internalize joy, internalize flavor, internalize affection, you can do that by dancing it. And salsa is the dance of joy, flavor, and affection. Period. It's not that complicated, but you need to be in an environment that allows you to experience salsa in this way. If you're coming from a different culture where you're not used to the music, you're not used to the dance, you don't have a lot of time or money to do it, and you're doing it like once a week at a group class or something, it's really hard to get it. What I deeply desired was to deep dive in the joy, the flavor, the affection of salsa, bring it into my own life and make it my own. The best way was going to Latin America, going to Colombia, and deep diving into salsa. And that's what I did. I spent a month finding the right situation and the next 5 months dancing full time, creating my own program to quickly learn how to dance salsa, not just the technique, but the feeling and the spirit of it, so I can let myself come out. Ultimately, it's about me coming out and my own expression, my own creativity. It wasn't about copying someone's moves. I needed to come into myself. That's what I deeply desired. And that's what Somo Loco is now. Somo Loco is basically a 1 to 4 week salsa immersion in Medellin, Colombia, for you to learn to dance and also experience all this joy and flavor and affection, which is the gift that you can have for the rest of your life with people from all over the world. That's the synthesis of it. We took that model and did it with other dances like bachata. Now we do reggaeton and tango and zouk, and we've got a pop-up in Barcelona and other opportunities. But Medellin, Colombia is a special place where we have a special group of people that allow you to feel really loved and taken care of, to lean into this art form and not be stressed about who's my teacher, am I learning the right thing? We have the best teachers in Colombia. Everything is tied a nice bow and taking care of for people who've been doing this for years. We've had thousands of people come. I saw a review a couple of days ago. This guy, Eric, from the States, he said, not exaggerating, this was the best 4 weeks of my life. He came up for a 4 week immersion. That's not uncommon. We get people say this is the best vacation of life, best trip of the life. Often it's because it's profound what's happening with people doing this work, I would call it, doing this play. It's both, but people show up and they get something that you can't get anywhere else, in my opinion.
Where do I sign up?
Somoloco.com.
Amazing. And yes, I'll definitely put that on my list. And thank you very much for joining me. Yeah, David, it's been really inspiring to hear about this journey. I think it is so profound that what you're talking about there was the physical, the mental, the spiritual, and weaving them together. Yeah, and that's a challenge that everyone has. So we'll get people onto the website. I'll share the links on here. It's been amazing talking to you. And I'm looking forward to learning salsa in Colombia.
Hell yeah, we look forward to having you, Roy. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power. But our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.